top. Lost in our world, found in another. Not only have I found the tagline for this week, I have found my co-host. I'm lost in his beautiful baby blue eyes, Mr. Dave Bisella.
That's me.
That's Dave. I am Ryan. Lost in our world, found in another is our tagline for this week. If you think you know what movie that comes from, send your guess off to us in an email, moviesonup@gmail.com. Tweet your guess directly at us at moviesonup on the Twitter, or send it to our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.com/moviesonup. If you're correct, if we pick you, you can win a splendid prize package full of all sorts of goodies, courtesy of Movies on Up. The tagline, lost in our world, found in another. Not a tagline that I just found out of the blue. There's a particular reason I picked it. And it's very apropos to the discussion that we're going to be having today. And that is, I don't want to say it's a discussion about Battleship, the movie. We are going to talk a little bit about Battleship, but we're also going to talk a little bit about Lone Survivor, both directed by Peter Berg, starring Taylor Kitsch. So if you can figure out how Lost in Our World, Found in Another might figure into all that, that'll help you try and discern what movie that came from. Battleship. From 2012, directed by Peter Berg, starring the aforementioned Taylor Kitsch. The rest of the cast, kind of interesting. Rihanna, Brooklyn Decker, Liam Neeson, Alexander Skarsgård. Quite a mishmash.
Go back to those first
people.
Two names.
Taylor
a
Kitsch.
A pop singer.
Oh, not Taylor Kitsch.
A pop singer.
Rihanna.
A supermodel.
Yes.
Those are two of the top four billed.
Yeah, exactly. And they're both billed above Liam Neeson. They were both in the movie more than Liam Neeson was, but that just it bothers me.
I don't even know where to start.
No one ever should be billed ahead of Qui-Gon Jinn, but I digress. As we like to do when we do specific discussions on movies, more or less to appease Dave, we talk box office. This movie domestically made $65.4 million, which I guess isn't terrible. But when you compare that to the $209 million production budget, not looking so good. However,
and it was a prime summer release.
Prime summer release.
When you have a big time summer movie block, this was a blockbuster.
Supposed to be.
This was like May. This was what, 2 weeks after the Avengers? This was supposed to kick off.
I think
off
Avengers was in its third week when this opened.
Yeah, this was supposed to be kick off the blockbuster season, and it didn't.
Not so much. Like I said, just about $65.5 million. Kind of made up for it worldwide. Its foreign box office, $237.6 million for a worldwide total of $303 million. Did open number two on May 18th of 2012 with $25 million, a scant $30 million behind the Avengers in its
third
week. So, I mean, that kind of gives you an idea of what it was up against.
Let's not blame the Avengers for
no,
this.
No, it was not nearly as good of a movie as the Avengers. But, you know, it was not going to win. Even if this was a tremendous movie, you were not going to beat the Hulk and Iron Man.
It had quite a few things working against it. First off, Taylor Kitsch was an unknown. John Carter was supposed to put him on the map as a leading man. It was a terrible, terrible disaster, like a big time failure.
We'll get to that a little bit later.
Yeah. So you didn't have an established leading man. Peter Berg, his last big screen directorial debut was Hancock, which not the most popular movie, kind of fairly hated. So he's coming off.
But I think
it didn't have a wide
appeal. That's what I was going to say. Like, I think it's. I don't want to call it a cult movie because I don't necessarily think that it is. But I think it's definitely worthy of a look because it is pretty good.
But I guess
except for the ending, that's kind of rough.
I guess yeah, the moon was stupid. But I guess just the like, okay, you have a director who hasn't had a movie in 4 years, and it wasn't very well received. And
it was a Will Smith superhero movie, which you would think
would be a huge hit,
right?
And based on an amazing script that just somewhere along the way got butchered, and then an unknown star. So how is this movie getting a 200? Not, I guess that's the big question to ask right away: is how is this group of characters earning a $200 million budget?
And I think I can answer that question
based off of a board game.
based off of a board game. There were several board games at that point that were supposed to be made. Sorry
was one
them
all.
Of them. Well, thankfully. But before we get into that, it's domestic gross of $65.4 million puts it 996th all time on the domestic list. Dave, number 995, your best guess.
Candyland.
No, it was the taking of Pelham 123, the John Travolta one. Number 997, a movie that is very near and dear to your heart, a genre that is near and dear to your heart, not mine.
What genres do I like that you don't?
That I don't. That's a hell of a hint. And when you find out the movie that it is, you're going to be like, damn it, that
like
was a good hint.
You like horror and you like sci-fi.
You're right to do.
What other genre do I like? Give me another hint.
No. It's Step Up.
Oh.
Do you love you some
sense.
Dance films?
I do love me some dance
right.
movies.
And Step Up made just slightly less money than Battleship.
C-Tates and Jenna Dewan. Now, Jenna
Mrs.
Tates.
Mrs. C-Tates. Interestingly enough, number 1,000, cool 1,000 on the all-time domestic list, one of our favorite Christmas movies.
Gremlins.
Lethal Weapon.
Lethal Weapon.
Lethal Weapon. It happens to be the sixth most successful Hasbro movie behind three Transformers films and two G.I. Joe movies. And I think that right there is where you get your $200 million budget. It's based off of what Transformers did. And at its core, I mean, sure, this is Battleship. It's based off a board game, but it is Transformers on the water.
Yeah.
The aliens that show up are kind of Transformers.
Very Transformery.
Yes. Lots of explosions. They didn't have the name Transformers, which I think is kind of a problem when you're expecting the same box office juice. But I think that's pretty much how this movie
Here's
gets a $250
thing.
Million budget.
Do you think, I know you're still talking numbers, but I'm going to pose a hypothetical to you.
Sure.
If this movie were called Sea Invasion or Navy versus Aliens or anything other
Cowboys
than Battleship, do you think it gets received the same way?
I'm not sure.
Because this movie was fighting an uphill battle to begin with. A movie based off a board game, that's a negative connotation no matter what. So I think it was fighting an uphill battle.
We definitely have to come up with a better name than like Navy versus Aliens, because that's terrible. I mean, would a movie called Battleship make me want to go run out and see it? No, not really. Would a movie called Navy versus Aliens make me want to go see it? No, that wouldn't either. So, I understand what you're asking.
If it's called anything other than Battleship, if it's called anything other than based on a board game.
Yeah, perhaps. Because, I mean, I think there is that, how do you make a movie off of a board game? Like, there's no possible way it can be good. And, yeah, it was fighting an uphill battle. And I guess we'll talk about maybe how successful or unsuccessful it was at fighting that battle when we get there. But I still do have a little bit of numbers that I'd like to talk. The budget on Battleship, $209 million. The budget for John Carter, $250 million.
Two Taylor Kitsch movies.
Both Taylor Kitsch movies. The budget on Lone Survivor, $40
million. Starring Mark Wahlberg, proven commodity.
And obviously, with a relatively low budget of $40 million, just after its opening week, Lone Survivor very nearly made that.
It was $37 million its opening week. That's the third largest January opening ever. That's, what was Battleship its first week, 35?
No, Battleship was 25.
25, so it outdid Battleship.
And Battleship opened in May.
Yeah, when people are going to the movies. So,
yeah.
Because even your bombs in the summer open to 40 or 50 million usually.
Or 25.
So, yeah, so that's what I'm so compelled about. Like, we'll talk Battleship, but I'm more compelled about, after watching Lone Survivor, my exact reaction was to Ryan was, it's like the team with the number one draft pick winning the Super Bowl the next year, because you went from bottom of the barrel to just among the top of the game, because we'll get to it more. But Lone Survivor was, you look at Taylor Kitsch in Battleship and Lone Survivor, it's two different actors. It's 100%. It's not the same guy. And then you look at how Battleship was directed and the quality of Lone Survivor, they're not the same person. So it doesn't make sense that the same team teamed up to do such drastic.
It doesn't, but then it does when you kind of dig a little bit deeper. I like that you are taking it from I saw, because I mean, I did too. I saw Lone Survivor first and then went back and saw Battleship. And you think, well, how does the guy that makes Lone Survivor, how is he also the guy that makes Battleship? You hear this not a lot, because sometimes it doesn't really come to the forefront. But there are projects that directors or actors will get attached to, will have to do. They have to do A to do B.
And I understand that.
And that was absolutely the case for Battleship. Peter Berg had to direct Battleship so that Universal would distribute Lone Survivor, which is the movie he wanted to make to begin with.
And that's, if you look at Peter Berg's career, he's director of 17 titles. Hancock and Battleship, two of the most notorious.
A lot of TV stuff.
The Kingdom, not really, kind of gone and forgotten. But then
I like
you look
the Kingdom.
At his
it's
ones.
Never
that,
forgotten. I got you, Jenny.
His ones that were really good. Very Bad Things, his directorial debut, written by him. Friday Night Lights, that's what really put him on the scene as a director. He wrote it. Yeah, it's based off a book, but he's the one that adapted the book. And then now Lone Survivor, which is really going to elevate him to, I think, a new level. Also based on a book, but written by Berg. So clearly he's at his best when he's working from his own source. I mean, not that he's creating the source material, but he's giving himself great screenplays to work with, and because he didn't write Battleship.
No, and granted, you know, from a storytelling aspect, there was not a lot to work with. But I think you could still tell that Peter Berg is an incredible action director. And I think it's better seeing Lone Survivor first because you know the guy is very talented. So maybe that made me look at Battleship a little bit less harsh, I guess. And the action sequences in Battleship are pretty good. I mean, it does have a very, very strong Michael Bay flair. And of course it would because it's a Hasbro film. And they're like, you see these Transformers movies?
Make this.
Yes, make this, but on the water and tied to another one of our properties. So at that point, you got Berg kind of handcuffed into making a movie that he doesn't necessarily want to make and having to make it in a style that is, you know, maybe not
Peter
his own.
Berg apologist this episode.
Yeah.
This is not the turn I expected us to take, but I'm for it.
I am. But
because you know what? I'm going to be a Taylor Kitsch apologist too.
I'm fine. If Peter Berg made Battleship because he needed to eat, okay, fine, whatever. Or if he just made a bad movie, okay, fine, whatever. But when you find out that, well, he made it so because he knew that Lone Survivor was going to be tremendous. That was the story he wanted to tell. So, yeah, you can cut the guy a break for making Battleship. You know, at the end of the day, Battleship made money. Worldwide, it made money. Would Universal have been better off just going, all right, Pete Berg, you want $40 million to make this movie about some Navy SEALs on top of a mountain?
Based on a best-selling book.
Yeah. Here's your $40 million. Or was it a better idea to say, all right, fine, we'll give you your $40 million, but first we're going to give you $209 to make this movie based off a board game that is going to make a scant $65 here, and we're going to kind of grip to wonder if we're going to... They could have lost their asses instead of just giving Peter Berg $40 million to make...
And that's why it was an alien movie, because, you know, Battleship is a Navy SEA game. They knew this movie would make money overseas. And
you can't have somebody else.
That's why we weren't fighting China or anybody else that has money in their pockets.
We were cooperating with all these other countries.
So
yeah.
they knew exactly what they were doing.
And I think they knew, Universal knew that they had to make this movie. And to Universal's credit, I think they probably saw something in Peter Berg that we saw in Lone Survivor and said, well, you know, we don't really have a shot with this Battleship thing. But if we can dupe this guy or, like, twist his arm into directing it,
I think it just had a lot working against it.
Sure.
Taylor Kitsch was coming off of John Carter. John Carter was Taylor Kitsch's intro. And I mean, he was on Friday Night Lights TV show.
Yeah.
So there's that relationship between Berg and Kitsch.
Sure.
Because I believe he executive produced that. It was based off... So. But you have Kitsch, who was introduced to the world, the main world, in John Carter, which immediately was one of the largest flops of all time.
Kind of a punchline.
And then 2 months later, here he is starring in a movie about a board game. So that's a lot. That's two strikes against it already.
And both huge budget movies. It's not like it's one thing to flop on a tiny small budget, but when you throw $200 million at something, you're really trumpeting, "Hey, this movie," and then it falls.
If you look like if you just change a couple things, if this isn't the kickoff, like we gave the Avengers a couple weeks, now we're kicking off summer blockbuster season. If this movie's out
in January,
March, John Carter's release date. If it comes out then, it's not a punchline. I think it might be looked at a little differently, especially if it's before John Carter.
It's really hard to envision a world in which Battleship ends up being a success. Now, I mean, that's not to say that this is an awful movie. It's not to say that it's a good movie. I mean, Rihanna is not very good.
No.
No. Taylor Kitsch, not very good.
Not very good. Even Alexander Skarsgård, who I like.
Not very good.
They're brothers.
Yeah.
Alexander Skarsgård and Taylor Kitsch are probably...
Giant Nordic dude. Slightly less giant.
I buy Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito as twins is more believable than these two guys.
Yeah.
Skarsgård looks European.
Yes.
Like, he's a handsome dude, really good-looking guy. But he doesn't look...
He's handsome in a Viking way.
Yeah, he doesn't look American. And Taylor Kitsch is the epitome of American. Like, he looks like an American dude. Them as brothers, I just wasn't buying. Liam Neeson, I feel like, just threw up a green screen in his basement, and that's how he filmed all his scenes. Like, I feel like he just spent a weekend downstairs instead of actually going on set.
Yeah, he didn't necessarily look like he wanted to be there.
No.
Although, you know, as much as we kind of said, okay, this movie stars a pop singer and a supermodel, I really didn't think Brooklyn Decker was that bad. I was expecting someone who could maybe barely read. And that's probably sexist, or that's bad. That's a bad job by me. So I was actually kind of pleasantly surprised by her in this movie. I thought, wow, she's emoting.
When
this
you go from supermodel to Adam Sandler movie...
And I think that's it.
I don't think your expectations are going to be...
I've not seen any of her work in the Adam Sandler movies. Maybe I'll have to go back. No, that's a lie. I'm not going to go back and see him. But she's not terrible in this. I think she actually is a better actor than Taylor Kitsch. But
she's a better...
Swimsuit model?
No, I was going to make a bad... mean joke about her husband.
Well, you think she's a better tennis player than
I was going to say she's a better actress than her husband is a tennis player, but that's not fair.
Well, he's retired. Yeah. I don't think he cares.
Yeah.
He's laughing at all of us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's got a grand slam and he won a tennis tournament, too.
Yeah. Just the whole setup of this movie, though, is stupid. It's like they didn't even try. It was like, so they had the pitch. The pitch is just these two brothers, the Hecker brothers or whatever their names are. It's just like, all right, here we go, studio. Aliens attack, and we're it's Navy, so we're battling them, and then we're shooting what looked like the battleship pegs, and we're using some numbers just to throw it off there, and like, oh, cool, so how do we get to that point? It's like, oh, crap, we didn't think about that.
All
right, how about he falls through the roof of a convenience store, and oh, he's forced to join the Navy? Was it community service?
The setup is kind of rough. Actually, like, the first...
The setup is very 80s.
The first 20 minutes are kind of rough, because even after... you fall through the roof of the convenience store and you find out you're going to have to join the Navy. There's a jump, because all of a sudden they go from "we're going to enlist" to Eric Northman is got command of a destroyer and John Carter is manning the torpedoes for another one. He's a lieutenant. So clearly there's been some passage of time here that I must have missed.
Yeah, I just don't get it.
All right, so you've got the brothers out in different ships. At that point, the movie kind of becomes Transformers meets Top Gun. Maybe it's just because it was the Navy. Obviously, Top Gun had planes. This had ships. But I did think that there was kind of that Maverick Iceman vibe that maybe not between the brothers, but between Taylor Kitsch and the Japanese captain later. I did feel that kind of dynamic there. But one thing that I did actually appreciate about this movie, and you knew it was coming, it's called Battleship. So at some point, like the G.I. Joe, you're waiting to hear, "you sunk my battleship." and you didn't exactly get it, but you're also waiting to see how they're going to stuff that motif down your throat. And they really didn't. They only used it for like maybe a 5-minute scene, and kind of the way they snuck it in on you, by the time it happened, I was like, oh, you got me. All right, well done, Peter Berg. I didn't see it coming, but now that it's here, all right, fine. They didn't shove it down your throat. Like I think of like Doom, the movie with The Rock.
The first person.
Exactly, when it went to first person mode for like the last half hour of the movie. Awful.
Boo.
Completely awful. And you knew they kind of had to do it because that's what Doom was a first-person shooter.
I think that's the big mistake. That's what hurt Doom, and that's what
yes.
We talked about G.I. Joe, the first one. Where
all the fan service.
All the fan service. Like, you feel like you have to do it, but that's what really holds it back from being a good movie that you could take seriously.
And not that I take Battleship seriously, but I can at least appreciate that, you know, it wasn't an entire movie where, you know, they were going A6, miss, B4, hit, you sunk my destroyer. You know, like that would have been real old. But for a 5-minute section, I guess I thought it was okay. And I don't know if that's a scripting thing or, you know, maybe if I just want to throw all sorts of credit Peter Berg's way. But, you know, I think that's something that I think someone could have handled very clumsily, and it really would have been awful. But, you know, instead nobody saw the movie, so it didn't bother anybody.
Go back to this movie's success. It occurred to me earlier, but now I'm just going to throw it in there where it still doesn't make any sense. Are we over alien invasion movies? Because think of the last few big budget
Cowboys
ones.
Versus
this,
Aliens.
Cowboys versus Aliens and Battle Los Angeles.
Oh, God.
Those are like the last three like main alien invasion movies. I mean, you could go back to Spielberg's War of the Worlds, which I guess did okay, but that was also Spielberg and Tom Cruise. Mm. Are we just over these big-time alien invasion movies?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't
even
think...
Even Count Pacific Rim, if you want. Because, yeah, they're alien, not from space.
Yeah,
but
you're right. But for, in the case of Battleship, I'm not sure if people knew that was an alien invasion movie. I remember seeing the trailers, and there were, like, big robot things. But I'm not sure that I knew they were aliens. I just knew I didn't want any part of it because it was called Battleship.
It goes back to my earlier point.
But if it was called Aliens versus something else, then that would help us out to find out if we're over alien invasion movies. I think that we're just over... Because I was excited to see Cowboys versus Aliens.
Ugh.
John Favreau, James Bond, Han Solo. Yeah, I'll
Ugh.
See that. It was awful.
It was boring.
Yeah, but I don't think it was because it was an alien movie. It's just because it was a bad movie.
No.
I'm not over alien invasion movies. Give me another one. Give me The Bitch of War. I'm excited about that.
That's not really an alien invasion movie, though.
It's fighting aliens, isn't he? I don't know if they're invading. I really don't know. I don't know what the hell's going on in that movie, but I want to see it.
Here's the point I want to make, though.
The point you want to make.
About Taylor Kitsch. He was terrible in John Carter. He was not watchable in John Carter, and that was his movie. He was not good in this.
No.
Slightly better. Not good in this. So much so that when I tried watching Savages, which I like movies like that. I like Aaron Taylor Johnson. Like, but I couldn't get over.
Because it was the guy from John Carter and Battleship.
That's all I saw was John Carter and Battleship guy. So it took away from that movie. Like, he was so bad in these two movies that it took away from a third movie. And that's hard to do. Like, that's bad. Because I'm good at moving on. But I just couldn't I mean, even in Savages, he wasn't great.
You move on very slowly. You're not as good as you think you are. Nobody's making a one movie McAvoy turn with you. It's a slow. For me, it'll happen. Live and let live, man. But for you, it's a. I had to convince you on Olivia Wilde. This year's Uppy Award winner for the McAvoy turn.
Butter started the turn.
But
me.
That's what I'm saying. It takes a while for you.
Yeah. I'm going to prove you wrong. Because I can
wrong.
Name a movie where one movie made the turn.
And you're going to say Lone Survivor.
Taylor Kitsch, Lone Survivor. Dude was phenomenal in this movie. Like, I don't know how far you're getting into Lone Survivor.
We'll get into it. It's fine.
Yeah, because
we're all at the sleeves.
We've talked about Lone Survivor, and my biggest complaint is I do like Mark Wahlberg. I really like Mark Wahlberg. I kind of wish Mark Wahlberg wasn't in this movie.
Yes.
We both have the feeling that you have Emile Hirsch, who, phenomenal actor.
Yep.
Very
Ben Foster, great.
Ben Foster, one of the best actors, completely very underappreciated. Underrated. Very underrated. Ben Foster, one of the best actors alive right now.
Nobody's going to confuse Taylor Kitsch for being one of the best or the most underrated.
But then
underrated.
You have Taylor Kitsch out there, who people know from, you know, so Emil Hirsch, Kitsch, and Foster, they're recognizable enough. And then Mark Wahlberg, who is a movie star.
Completely different stratosphere.
Huge movie star. The movie's called Lone Survivor. You know somebody lives.
Yes.
With Wahlberg involved, it's no longer Lone Survivor. It's Mark Wahlberg in Lone Survivor.
So you assume
that he's even if you've read the book, I knew Marcus Luttrell was the one that lived. I've read parts of the book. I'm familiar with the story enough to know that even if it were somebody of a lesser stature, I would know who survived. But a lot of the audience going in probably doesn't.
I didn't read any of the book, but I guess just from hearing about the movie, like, Mark Wahlberg plays the guy that lives. I knew that. But, I mean, I agree. When you put Wahlberg in this movie, unless you're going to pull a Scream and kill your star within the first, you know, 5 minutes, which is rare, it does kind of take a lot of the suspense out of it. Any of the suspense is taken out in the first shot of the movie when you see.
Which I also don't like that.
Yeah.
That's my only complaint about the direction of this movie. But it's an ensemble movie. Like, I don't like seeing Mark Wahlberg lone survivor. If it were Mark Wahlberg, Ben Foster, Taylor Kitsch, Emil Hirsch all above the credits, fine. Because this was an ensemble movie.
But I think,
because even in the movie, Wahlberg doesn't outshine them.
No, he doesn't. But I think that from a sales standpoint,
I understand it 100%.
That's why they do it.
That's my complaint about it. I understand 100% why it's Mark Wahlberg lone survivor. But from a movie standpoint, like, this was an ensemble movie.
It was.
These four guys, I bought as brothers more than Skarsgård and Kitsch. And they
who were actually supposed to be brothers.
Yeah, they weren't actually brothers. And the dynamic, I think, is fantastic in here because you have Taylor Kitsch, who was coming off of two, you know, big-time bombs. And you have Emil Hirsch, who, you know, he had a John Carter a few years ago. Emil Hirsch was poised to break out into this big-time movie star. And then Speed Racer happened.
Yeah.
So
he's kind of morphed into something completely different now.
Yeah. So, I mean, he went from, like, about to be above the title name to he's still a fantastic actor. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, a good year with Prince Avalanche and this. But just the four of them together was so well done. And I didn't see John Carter. I didn't see Guy from Battleship. Taylor Kitsch, I feel like this was his movie. If I'm billing it, I'm billing him above Mark Wahlberg because I felt like he did more. I felt like he had to do more of the heavy lifting because for the first 70 to 75% of the movie, Mark Wahlberg's just there for the ride, kind of. Like, he's not caring any more than Foster Hirsch.
He becomes more involved as the rest of the guys become less involved.
Yes, yeah. And that's
by default.
Like, yeah. So, like, the last, 30%, that's Wahlberg. That's on Wahlberg, but up until then, I feel like when it's the four of them, I feel like Kitsch was the one carrying it. I feel like he had the heavy lifting to do, and he nailed it. Like, up till the end, up till we get to the lone survivor, like, I thought he was from start to finish. That was Taylor Kitsch's movie. And if I don't know the story, I don't know who Mark Wahlberg is. If I'm watching this movie as I'm watching it, I'm assuming Kitsch is the one that's there at the end.
I guess you would, and I think that just kind of speaks to our point that this movie would, from a storytelling standpoint, from an enjoyment standpoint, maybe not financially, but would have been better served with four actors that were on relatively the same rung, because then you really wouldn't know. It's tough when you know, that Mark Wahlberg is going to survive. As bad as things got for him, you never really thought that the character was in danger because you know he comes out of it. Whereas everybody else, you're like,
But that's where he did so well, is you know everybody dies, but that's still impactful when it did. And, like, I don't want to go into too much spoilers, but, like,
the other three guys die.
Yeah, and you know, Ben Foster, you can't. It's hard to out-act that dude.
Honestly,
that dude will go head-to-head with. I don't know that there's anybody on the planet that can go, like, head-to-head with Foster.
The great Mike Fassbender.
I honestly, I think Ben Foster can almost act anybody under the rug.
Whoa.
I mean, if you look at his filmography and everything he's done and the wide range of stuff, I just watched Ain't the Body Saints.
Yeah.
Not the greatest movie. Foster goes head-to-head with Casey Affleck, who I adore.
Who's very good.
Puts him to shame. I mean, Ben Foster is just, He went toe-to-toe with Woody Harrelson in The Messenger a few years ago and stole that movie. Like, that dude, the level he is, I mean...
To me, it was really, I mean, as much as you think Taylor Kitsch kind of stood out, for me, it was Ben Foster.
I think Taylor Kitsch's character stood out, but Ben Foster, acting-wise, he's the one I wanted to survive.
Like, yeah.
Just because I wanted to keep seeing it.
And I think, really, for me, it wasn't even... the other three guys, I think, were all... Their performances were pretty much disposable. I don't think that this movie stands up because of what any of those four guys did. The movie stands up because of, A, what the story is, and B, the way Berg directed it and put you on the mountain with those guys.
You can't discredit what the four of them did
together,
though. You
could have put any four guys in there.
I disagree. I think they all nailed it. I think Kitsch was really good. I thought Foster was above. I mean, I would be fine with Foster getting a nomination for supporting.
Ben Foster's great.
I'd be fine with Kitsch getting a supporting actor nomination.
But the rest of those guys, like, they didn't have all that much to do. The fact that you could put the guy that was in Battleship and John Carter, and it turns out okay. Now, okay, what are you saying? Either Taylor Kitsch is a really good actor and Battleship...
You can't blame Berg because Berg...
I'm not blaming him. I'm giving him credit.
I understand that. I'm giving Berg 100% credit for that. I want him to get a Best Director nod. I really do. I want this to be nominated for Best Picture because the way this was shot, especially, I keep going back to the going down the hill stuff.
Yeah.
That stuff is shot phenomenally. And it doesn't go on too long, but it's not short enough. It's long enough for you to – the hell he put them through.
Exactly,
like those
yeah.
characters. You were there with them. And, yes, I know three of them are going to die. Yes, I know which three are going to die. I still care. Not just because of how it's directed, but because they made me care. Hirsch, Foster, and Kitsch.
And I think anyone could have done that.
I don't. Because I think Foster was at a whole other level. I think Kitsch was off his ass in that movie. I mean, he was – I'm very impressed with Kitsch.
Is Taylor Kitsch a good actor?
I could take, yeah. This is all I need to see.
This is all you need to see.
I'll take Taylor Kitsch seriously now. Like, this was a career Hail Mary to me. Like, this was a lifesaver to me. Like, anything Taylor Kitsch is in, like, I had hesitancy. When we were doing news episodes, and we knew Foster and Hirsch and Wahlberg were attached, and then they cast Taylor Kitsch as the fourth one, we had our hesitancies about it because. These Kitsch and Berg back together. But I will take him seriously now. Like, if he's bat 1-for-4, essentially. But, and one bad performance after this will probably knock him right back down. But I'm not writing him off completely now. And I could see if Taylor Kitsch is given the lead in a movie, I get that. I could see it.
But let's say hypothetically, instead of going the other way and taking another actor. Instead of Marky Mark and somebody
you
on the
put,
same
you
peg.
Put Channing Tatum in Taylor Kitsch's role.
Put Channing Tatum in Taylor Kitsch's role. Maybe take four guys that are as famous as Mark Wahlberg and you put them all in there. You know, do you think the movie could have been just as good?
Maybe.
What I'm saying is...
I almost feel like it kind of could have been distracting.
Maybe it could have been. But I'm just saying that you could interchange those actors... And the story would have been the same. The direction still would have been the same. And I would have cared about each of those characters just as much.
Same,
I mean, there's
some... The chemistry among the four of them. Like, I'm a big fan of an ensemble performance, and this was 100%. Because if one of them is off, it falls flat. And they all raised the bar high. I mean, Foster and Kitsch, I thought, were so good. And then Hirsch and Wahlberg were right there with them. I disagree. I thought it was so well acted, and I would love to see it get acting noms, but I don't think it will. But it absolutely deserves a directing nom, too, which I think it has a chance at.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll kind of agree on half of it. No matter what, though, like, obviously it was a really good movie. I would be shocked if it didn't get definitely Best Director, but I think Best Picture it should be in the running for, too.
I think
too.
It should.
I mean... I go back to, like, The Hurt Locker. I mean, not the same
movie.
I love
The Hurt Locker.
Right.
I like this more.
Oh, I do, too. Yeah.
I like this a lot more. Like, I don't like war movies, really. Like, I like Hurt Locker. I think it was more than a war movie. This is 100% a war movie.
Yeah.
And I hate quotes in movie trailers most of the time, but there's one in the promos for this. It says the best war movie since Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, sure.
Saving Private Ryan is really the last war movie I liked. because I don't like war movies, but I like Saving Private Ryan. I love this.
The visually, the thing people take away from Saving Private Ryan is that the Normandy scene, you know, where some things that you that Spielberg showed you in a mainstream cinema that you really hadn't seen before. This movie doesn't necessarily do that, but I think one of the things that was great about Saving Private Ryan was kind of beneath that, it was that human story, which I think you can tell, and there are very compelling human stories within war movies, and I think that this, at its core, is the story of four humans
and this,
just trying to get the hell out of the worst possible situation.
These characters went through hell, like the falling down the hills, the getting shot. Like, they didn't just, like, oh, we're ambushed, now we're dead. Like, they fought until the very last second. And just see them go through that. Like, there's a few times where you're like, oh, somebody's going to be dead now. But they keep going, and they're not just, I want to survive. It's, we need to survive. Mm-hmm. Like, even, you know, when one of them is left behind, and there's zero chance of them saving him, they're still saying, we have to go back for him. Like, they know in their minds that there's zero chance he's alive and that they're going to save him. But in that mind, it's not, we got to get out of here. It's, we need to go back for him. And he puts you there. And that's why I like how well it was directed, because he puts you right there. Then the one death that, you know, Foster, not spoiler, but Foster's death was so well done. That scene is one of my favorite scenes of the movie. And even the pre leading up to that, like, where you think he's going to die and he doesn't. It's so good, and I think that's why I want Foster to get nominated. Yeah. But it's just such a good movie, and I don't think you can only credit Berg. Like, I mean, Berg had a great script. They were working with a great script, so I'll give him credit for that. Mm-hmm. And the direction was fantastic, but these performances, I mean, it's...
But there again, I mean, I feel like a certain amount of credit, not that I want to take credit away necessarily from what the actors did, because I think they were fine. I think it would be easier to switch out the four actors than it would be for Berg, because I think that, you know, a certain amount of the credit does from what the actors did.
A large amount of it goes to Berg, because you can tell this. The one thing I don't want to spoil is when the credits come up. Like, that was a nice little surprise. Like, that I wasn't expecting, and that you could tell, like, this that Berg cared about it and that everybody
I don't think it's
cared.
Really spoiling it when it's a lot like Argo when they show you the real people, and I think that that's again that's what it's a human story, so they show you the real humans,
which is cool because and because the acting was so well, like I cared about these guys, like I cared about when, you know, I knew their names, which I never know their names.
That's true.
So like when Emil Hirsch's character pops up, it's like, oh, that's cool to see him, and like that, like with Ben Foster's same thing where it's like I liked that, and it wasn't quick, it wasn't short, like he took his time, like they got their time. I really liked that. I really loved that moment, and I wasn't expecting it, and it was really cool to see, and I just how it was done, a picture of them on service and then a personal picture, which I thought was amazing and brilliant, and sad to look at some of the ages of the guys.
Oh, definitely. I mean, not that, you know, neither of us are particularly old, but I mean, I'm 29, and almost
a lot of those guys were younger.
Almost every one of them was younger.
They were pretty much all younger than me.
Yeah. You talk about, you know, the Lone Survivor and just the three, I guess, you know, main SEALs that die, but that's not, I mean, there's a lot more that I guess you didn't realize going in. I thought it was a story about four guys.
It's bigger than that.
But yeah, it is. It is bigger than that. And for a movie that, yeah, sure. I mean, $40 million is a significant amount of money.
They got their money's worth.
They did. And I think at one point there was actually kind of a larger budget attached to the movie, but they did kind of scale it back. And I'm glad they did, because it did feel a bit more intimate. And I think that's, you know, kind of the best way.
It wasn't fancy. It didn't feel like a big-time blockbuster, but it was the quality of, this movie could make $200 million, and I'm not going to complain. Because
no, I really hope that it does.
I mean, if it gets Oscar noms, it's going to, that $37 million is going to hold strong. And then if it gets, you know, a win, it's going to keep making money for the next 3 months.
Yeah, and definitely, I mean, it came out last week. as we were sitting here going over our most anticipated movies from 2014, you know, Her and Lone Survivor were both pretty up there for January, and neither of them disappointed, but I don't really know what I expected from Lone Survivor. I had heard good things, and when I saw it, I was like, yeah, I see what people are talking about.
I mean, it was a war movie directed by the director of Battleship, starring the guy from John Carter. And Battleship. So,
and Speed Racer.
I had very low. And Speed Racer, who he started to turn on me with Prince Avalanche.
And the guy from the M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yeah. So it had a lot working against it, and it overcame all of that. And I really love this movie.
I guess that's kind of a good way to wrap things up. We talk about Battleship having a lot to overcome. And I guess you try to overcome that with money and making a blockbuster versus this smaller movie that has maybe a lot to overcome because of this other movie and maybe another movie once removed from it. And they overcome that with $40 million and, you know, a pretty intimate story. But I guess that's, in the end, you know, that's really what movies are, is their stories. And the best movies typically have the best stories that kind of drives the best performances and things of that nature. So not to get too esoteric on the nature of good movies versus bad movies, Lone Survivor is a very good movie. Battleship is
not
somewhere less than that, but they're both Peter Berg movies. And
Taylor Kitsch movies.
Yeah, I mean, as much as like you may be willing to give Taylor Kitsch a chance, now I'm not saying that I'm not going to, but I'm definitely, you know, if Peter Berg does something, I'm going to say, yeah, okay.
I mean, I've loved Berg since I love Very Bad Things. Like when that movie came out, I loved that movie. I loved that movie so much, and I was excited because I remember him from movies like Aspen Extreme. Like I remember him as an actor. And then when he directed, it's
God,
like,
I loved Aspen Extreme.
I know. And then I saw like when Very Bad Things came out, I remembered him as an actor and I loved him as a director immediately because I liked that movie. And then he, you know, never did anything else I loved again until
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But fair enough. I mean, I definitely think that on the one hand, it's probably going to expose people to Taylor Kitsch, which is fine, but also, you know, maybe Ben Foster and Emile Hirsch more, and good, because I think that, you know, they deserve it. They're turning in some pretty good stuff here of late. You know, if you happen to get out to the Movieplex and see Lone Survivor, let us know what you think. Honestly, I've not heard anybody that hasn't liked it. I'm not soliciting negative opinions of this movie, but if you have one, or, you know, if you think that we're stupid and Marky Mark was awesome and they shouldn't have cast anybody else, you know,
I like Marky Mark.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, if you think that we're stupid for wanting to have four guys that are all relatively on the same level, yeah, just let us know your thoughts on the movie. That's really all I'm getting at. moviesonup@gmail.com. you can tweet your thoughts at us at moviesonup on the Twitter, or get on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup. Of course, moviesonup.com, your home for all things On Up, your home for all things Dave Bacella. It's DaveBacella.com.
DaveBacella.com, at DaveBacella on Twitter. We'll be back next week where we'll take a look at Oscar noms and hopefully be talking about Lone Survivor even more.
Sure.
And we're going to take a look at our favorite movies with robots that we enjoy.
Our favorite robot characters from the movies, in honor of someone who we hope we'll be talking about again in the Oscar nominations, that, of course, Scarlett Johansson, Samantha from Her.
Until then,
keep it up.